Luke chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. That is so small. Katrina said to me, "You'll be right, you'll be able to see it." Glasses off. Jesus said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy," mine aren't, "when your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you."
Well done. It was small. It's been a great morning, hasn't it? One of the things that I'm very much aware of, and you probably are as well, that this trying to navigate our way through life is a pretty complicated journey. And that's one of the struggles that I kind of have, even as I sit here today. For those who are part of the church, you'll know that we have a level of sadness today, a level of sadness with our good friend Janine making her way into the presence of God. And so there is a real sadness associated with that. And so we come today with that sadness in our heart, and at the same time, if you're anything like me, having a great joy in seeing all the children laughing and celebrating on the stage and all that goes with that. And I don't know, through this life journey, we go through all of those emotions. Today, I think we need to spend a few moments certainly praying for Chris, Janine's husband, and just recognising it's a very tough time for them as a family. But at the same time, we want to acknowledge that the reason that we're here, the reason that we do what we do, the reason that we want to talk about Jesus is because we know the significance of Jesus journeying with us through all those bits. Those bits where we have sadness in our heart, we have tears in our eyes, and at the same time, those moments when we celebrate the good things, those things that just bring us a lot of joy. And so that's why we do what we do. That's why we open the doors, because the journey with Jesus and Him being present in all the things we experience is what makes the big difference. So let's bow our heads and pray as we just pray about these things that are before us today. Father, we want to thank you for the fact that we can pray, that we can talk to you about the things that are on our mind and the things that are going on in our heart as well. Today, Father, it has been the most wonderful joy seeing all of these young lives just having so much fun. And we know that the message of who you are and your son Jesus is certainly something that's permeating in their life, and it's wonderful. And I pray that will be something that just keeps growing in their lives. For us here today, Father, at the same time, we recognise that there are other parts of life that aren't as nearly as much fun, but they are the reality. And today, Father, we acknowledge that Janine has moved from this earth into your presence, And we know that she's safe and secure there, and we have a joy in that. We know that because she accepted Jesus as her Saviour. But we recognise that here on this earth there is a husband, Chris, who no doubt is feeling the pain, and a family that's hurting. And so, Father, we ask that you'll be close to them. Father, today we've listened to songs being sung about this little light of mine, let it shine. And I pray that as we open your word today, that we'll have a better understanding of what that means for us. So please reveal these things to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to ask a question as we start chatting here this morning. When is a bright light a problem? When is a bright light a problem? I guess the answer is when you get used to living in the darkness. When you get used to living in the darkness, all of a sudden a bright light becomes a problem. I was reading an article this week that was talking about a very significant change that took place in British law. In British law, a rule was made in 1842 that no children or women were allowed to work underground in a mine. A very significant change, because up until that point, there were children as young as six. Some reports even have children as young as four working in the mines. And so the law was passed in 1842. Sadly, as typically the case, it was probably for at least another 20 years. Kids kept working in the mines, and they would just hide them when the inspectors came along. But for many of these young lives, they were saved because of this law. As I said, up until this point, children as young as six were working in the mines. They often worked in darkness, absolute darkness, because they had to pay for their own candles. And so the thought of wasting their money on buying a candle was too much, so they would actually be in the mines in complete darkness. These little kids usually had the job of being trappers. That was opening and shutting the trap doors as the coal carts made their way through the tunnels. This article read, boys and girls as young as six would open trap doors in the tunnels whenever a cart needed to come past. For the rest of the time, they sat on their own in the dark waiting for the next cart. While boring and pretty frightening, it was an important job for the safety of the mines and the miners. Keeping the doors shut whenever possible helped stop dangerous gases building up. So for six days a week, they would enter the mine before the sun rose in the morning, and they wouldn't get home until the sun went down in the evening. And sometimes these children would even sleep in the mines. So all they had was darkness. And then on one day a week, usually Sunday, they got the experience of the light, real, genuine, shining sunlight. But rather than getting up and enjoying it, rather than enjoying it and going out on those bright days, what they would do is they would pull the curtain shut. They'd pull the curtain shut because rather than the sunlight being something they enjoyed, it actually hurt. It hurt their eyes. It was something to be avoided. That almost seemed unbelievable for me to read that they'd got so used to darkness that they avoided the light. Then, of course, some of these children were no longer employed in the mines, and everything changed. After a little while, it completely turned around, where all the children wanted to do was be in the light, and they almost did all they could to avoid the darkness, and we can understand why that would be. In the Bible, we've heard today, and actually the kids sing about it as well, talking about light and darkness. And that Bible talks a lot about those two things, light and darkness, both in a literal sense, but also in regards to what they represent. Light, I think we can understand, obviously represents goodness or righteousness, as opposed to darkness, which is evil, and also people choosing to do those destructive and ultimately those things that cause pain and grief. As I look around the world, and you're probably saying, the same, I have no doubt that the world is looking for light. This world that we live in is looking for light, something to shine in the messes that the world offers. I don't mean that the world is only the world that's looking for light. I think everyone within them is looking for some light in the midst of their darkness. And if I had to explain to you what darkness is, I probably wouldn't even have to use a definition, because I think most of us would understand when we've experienced darkness in our lives. For a lot of people, it's times like financial burdens or medical struggles or relationship tensions or worry about the future. This list is long, and you could add to the list yourself when you've felt darkness in your own experience. I think darkness for those hard times in life is a pretty good description. So what do people try and do? They try and find something to help in the darkness. But very often people try and find things that really don't make much of a difference. I guess from an illustration point of view, it's kind of like they just have a glow stick, you know, and break the glow stick and hope that it'll make a difference. But of course, it never does. Well, in today's passage, it talks about the real answer. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about today. The real answer is to where we find real light that shines in the midst of the struggles we face. Now, you might look at that passage that Janet read for us and go, well, you know, I'm not sure that that's all that dynamic a passage. But when you understand what was actually taking place, it says a lot. Before chapter 11 of Luke, Jesus had been performing all kinds of miracles. He had calmed the sea. The disciples were out in the boat. They thought they were going to drown, and Jesus calmed the sea. There was a raising of a girl who had passed away back to life. There was healing of a demon-possessed man who was so tormented that he would self-harm himself so that he might release some of that pain. But somehow in the middle of all of this, doing all of those good things, you'd think that everyone would be cheering on Jesus, but instead they went the other way. And they saw all these good things and they actually described them as evil. Jesus is doing evil stuff because they weren't used to seeing light. How does that happen? How does goodness get misconstrued? I don't know about you, but for me, one of the greatest mysteries that I find all the time now is that whenever Christian standards or Christian principles are proclaimed, there's always someone out there that tries to describe that the things that we're proclaiming, the things we're talking about, are actually evil, are bad, are angry. And they're not that at all. So in Jesus' day, instead of people seeing him as the light of the world and the answers to their struggles, they tried to turn off all the goodness. They tried to stop people recognizing Jesus as the answer. And that's what verse 33 is all about. It's actually talking about Jesus himself. So no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it would be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. So the crowd are saying to Jesus, tone it down a little. Tone it down a little. The more you do these good things, the more it highlights how we're less than what we should be. It's no wonder that the world is not wanting the Christian message, because the more they hear and see the Christian message, the more they understand that their darkness, and that's why they avoid it. Then Jesus goes on to talk about a second metaphor, the eyes of a person, what people's eyes see and the light that comes in through them. You know what it's like when a little kid is sick. When a little kid is not well. Actually, my grandson yesterday wasn't feeling very well, and he wanted to tell his Poppy and his Nanette about the fact that he wasn't well. But he didn't have to tell us. As he was FaceTiming us and you saw his little face, you could just see in his eyes that glassiness. You know the look that I'm talking about. There's the watery eyes and there's the glassy eyes and there's that tiredness and tears in the eyes. And you can just tell that he's not very well. And so it's not something that we need to talk about, because you can just see that that's the case. And the other things was he wasn't running around like he usually does, and he was easily upset as well. All of those signs said he wasn't well. Well, what's being said in this passage is you can just tell that what comes into a person, if the eyes aren't healthy, then it's not, the body itself is not healthy, easy. And in that time, it was easy for people to understand that phrase because there were lots of people who were blind or had cataracts. Jesus said, your eye is the lamp of your body. And when your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when you're unhealthy, your body is also full of darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it is dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. It's a big phrase, isn't it? When your eyes are unhealthy, your body is also full of darkness. So the thing that stands out to me about this phrase is that, it once again, it doesn't need explanation. You can tell if someone is living in a darkness in their life. And we ourselves can feel when we're experiencing that darkness ourselves. It just feels like a dark experience. Jesus makes an interesting observation, though. He says, see to it then that the light within you is not darkness. See to it that the light within you is not darkness. But how can that be? Surely light and darkness are contrary to each other. So how can any light in us be darkness? Let me explain. Have you ever noticed that someone who has money problems will go out and buy stuff to make them feel better? They feel as though they're getting a little bit of light. But what is that light? It's just another bit of darkness. Someone with weight issues, they make sure they have something else to eat. Someone with relationship issues, they'll connect up with someone else who will also help them to continue in those issues. All of these things appear like rays of light in their life, but they're just another installment in the darkness. Just another installment in the darkness. It's no wonder that everyone is looking for real light. Everyone doesn't necessarily know what they're looking for, but they know they need something to change their circumstances. The answer is straightforward and simple. It really is. It is straightforward and simple, and it's in this passage today that we declare. There was a fun little song on the screen, and the kids sang it for us. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And it really is that simple. Do you want real light in your life? Not something temporary? Not something that's just an illusion? Well, in John 8:12, we read, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. It's as simple as that. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a wonderful declaration. And I don't know where you stand today. I don't know whether your experience is one of the darkness that we're talking about today because of the things that are going on in your world. But this is the answer. It's the truth. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. I think these passages that we've looked at today, and particularly that last one, John 8, really declare if you're sick and tired of working in a mine, if you're sick and tired of being in the darkness of narrow passageways, in the darkness of a mine, with barely a candle to guide you, then choose to receive the light that Jesus offers. Pretty straightforward and pretty simple. For those who choose to receive the light and life that Jesus offers, you will receive something beyond what people perceive they will receive. See, people often expect that what I'm going to be communicating or what the church communicates is you need religion. You don't need religion. You need Jesus. People will say, you need Christian traditions. You don't need Christian traditions. You need Jesus. Or you need to just make sure that you're in church all the time. I'd be happy for you to be in church all the time. That's not the answer. The answer is Jesus. It's understanding that the light of the world is Jesus Christ. And he passionately wants to break through the darkness that you're experiencing. The light he offers is not just temporary light. It's not just light for the moment. It's not just hope for this moment that you're experiencing. But it is light that will permeate and break through your whole life. Don't live in a world. Don't live in a world where all you experience is darkness. Don't do it. Don't live in a world where even the good or supposed good seems to be the answer. Don't do that. Come into the light of Jesus. Jesus wants to shine a light in your life in the midst of whatever you're going through, because he is the answer and he is the light of this dark world. Let me pray. Father, as we have opened up the Bible today, and as we've read these words, we've heard a ridiculously simple message. And in some ways, we almost battle with that because we go, can it be that simple? We know, Father, that by accepting Jesus in our lives, it doesn't mean that all of our troubles magically disappear. We understand that. But we understand that they will come into the light. Our struggles and our difficulties will come into the light which is Jesus. And Father, I pray for anyone who is sitting in this space today who is battling with some kind of darkness in their experience, some battle that's really hurting, some battle, some darkness that they just can't find answers to. I pray that they will be humble enough to understand that all they need to do is to turn to Jesus. All they need to do is to discover the beauty of who Jesus is, and that he wants to take control of those dark areas. He wants to take control of their lives. Not to just change our lives for no reason, but to bring light into what we experience. And Father, I pray that if there is anyone who really is looking for those answers, that they will find someone who they can talk to, someone who they can express their feelings to, so that, Father, they can find the answers that they're seeking after. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. To wrap up with a benediction. But I just wanted to share with you one of the special experiences that I've certainly had on many occasions. And what I'm referring to is the opportunity I had to go back to the farm that I grew up on and my growing up years. It's just outside of Bundaberg. It's about 10 kilometres outside of Bundaberg. But one of the things that I really love doing is leaving the city, leaving the town and all the lights that are there in the town and the city, all where all the artificial light is, and standing in the middle of a paddock. Standing in the middle of the paddock and looking up at the stars and marvelling at the wonder of God's creation. And that's a bit like what it's experiencing, the light of Jesus in your life. Escaping the artificial light, escaping the things that would pull us down, and discovering and experiencing that true light, something really special to behold. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." May that be your experience. Amen and amen.